الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are closely related, Ar-Rahim and Ar-Ra'uf. Imam Zujaj, rahmatullah alayh, he, in the commentary of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that the rahmat of Allah and the ra'fat of Allah, Ra'uf comes from ra'fat, they're basically one and the same thing. However, there is one difference, that Ra'fat refers to an extreme mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an intensification of mercy of Allah. And normally the way we translate this into English is Ra'uf means compassionate and Rahim means merciful. So Rahim is one level low, mercy is one level, the intensification of mercy is compassion, which is called Ra'uf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most compassionate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most empathy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this feeling in the most intense form, the most intensification of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Ar-Ra'uf, the meaning of this word Ar-Ra'uf. And it's so beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this name Rahim, Rahman that we did yesterday. But then more than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Ra'uf. And in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word at several places. And interestingly, it's always used with the combination of Rahim. So for example, one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Inna Rabbakum لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, that indeed your Lord is extremely compassionate and merciful. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with all of humanity extremely compassionate and extremely merciful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely compassionate with all of insaniyat. This is a nukta, a point that needs to be understood. Not just with the believers, not just with the pious, not just with the muttaqin. With all of insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely compassionate. Some ulama, they say that in a hadith it comes that a khalqu iyalullah, that the creation of Allah is the iyal of Allah, it's the household of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyal is known as your home, the people living in your house. And if you see that there is a father in the house, so he has so much muhabbat for the kids, so much compassion for the kids. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compassion for the entire makhluk. Inna Allaha bin-nasi la-ra'ufur rahim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely compassionate with all of insan. And Allah Ta'ala's compassion is for every single individual. So just like a father, he has compassion for the children, and because of that he facilitates their success at home. He provides them with their needs, their necessities, their wants, so that the kids, they don't have to worry about themselves. They don't have to worry about how to run the house, how to live in the house, how to get things in the house. Exactly in the same way, when the father is there in the house, the kids, they don't need to worry. about running the house because the father, the caretaker, is there. The guardian is there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has so much compassion for the makhluk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I'm going to make intizam for their Jannah. I'm going to ensure, I'm going to make some arrangements that my servants, they also end up reaching Jannat. And I'm going to find ways in which I'm going to forgive their sins, so that when they come to me, I can open the doors of Jannat for them and I can make them enter into Jannat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rauf, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahim. Allah ta'ala is extremely compassionate to all of insan. But what happens is that insan, despite the compassion of Allah, insan becomes ghafil. Insan becomes heedless. Insan turns away from Allah. And when the insan does not turn back to Allah, and still not coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran very lovingly addresses insan. And this is ayat about insan, not believers. Allah says, Kutila al-insanu ma akfara. That what happened to insan, why has it become so ungrateful? Min ayyi shayin khalaka. That insan, think about yourself. That Allah has created you. How has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring insan back. Actually, normally what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created shaitan for us as well. Shaitan takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here a question comes up that if shaitan takes us away from Allah, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create shaitan in the first place? Shaitan is Allah ta'ala's enemy. Shaitan is our enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rauf, compassionate and merciful to us. Then why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow shaitan to become musallat over us? This enemy to dominate us. In Quran Allah mentions shaitan can dominate you. Why is that? Why does this happen? So one reason, one answer is that so that if a person, if insan ends up making any mistake, because shaitan dominates a person and makes a person commit a mistake, some sin, some fault, some slip. So whenever there is any slip or error or sin that a person does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always attributes that mistake to shaitan. That insan, you didn't do this, this was shaitan who made you do it. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he forgot and he ate from that tree. Allah does nisbat of that to shaitan. فَأَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ anha. Other place Allah mentions that هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is the amal of shaitan. Or shaitan tripped them, shaitan tricked them, shaitan deceived them. Or shaitan, when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi's brother, they threw Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi in the well. Shaitan came in. Shaitan put this enmity between their hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes all these sins and mistakes to shaitan. This is also the rahmat, the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh my servant, shaitan overcame you and made you do that sin. And now if you can come back to me, I know you don't want to commit a sin, I will forgive you. If you come to me, ask for forgiveness, I am ready to forgive you. You did not commit this sin of your own, shaitan made you commit. Shaitan put that waswasa, you waswisu fi sudur innas. So the entire record of sin is placed on the kanda, on the shoulder of shaitan. That I will give you my rahmat, and it was shaitan who made you slip. So subhanallah, this is also, the creation of shaitan is also the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala uses this to forgive a person. Acha, then we also should understand that Allah ta'ala is compassionate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold a person accountable immediately for their sins. And if you look in the dunya, all of us, we know this. It's if you touch a live wire, wo pehli galti bhi maaf nahi karti. Right? If you touch a live wire, the live wire will not forgive you, even not will not even give you one chance, right? If a person touches a live wire, even accidentally for the first time, one will harm themselves. But in the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the principle is different. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala doesn't hold a person, doesn't take a person accountable for their first mistake. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is Rahim, Kareem, and Rauf. Inna Allah bin Nasil Rauf or Rahim. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is extremely compassionate and merciful to all of insan. For one, two, three mistakes, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala doesn't punish a person. When a person continues to do sin, they do a sin, they do something one, the first time, then a second time, then third, then fourth, and they continue non-stop, and they spend their entire life, years of their life in that particular sin, and they spend a lifetime doing that, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala holds them accountable. Then Allah Ta'ala takes them to task. And I'm not saying this of my own thing. This is a hadith of Mubarakah. One person, he came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was caught on this crime of stealing. So he said that, Amir al-Mu'mineen, please forgive me that I did this for the first time. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied that no, Allah ta'ala never embarrasses a person on their first mistake. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that we'll investigate. And when investigation was done, they found out that this person was a habitual thief. He would steal all the time. So when a person sins one or twice or initially, Allah ta'ala doesn't hold a person accountable. But when a person completely wraps themselves in sin, envelopes themselves in sin, they continue on this path of sin, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala holds that person. Then the punishment comes from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions this. Man kasaba sayyi'atan wa ahatat bihi khati'atuhu. That those who did some sayya, some bad thing, wa ahatat bihi. And that bad sin, it completely enveloped them. It encompassed them. Ihata. And they continued doing that sin, so they did it so many times that now they were drowning in that sin. And when they're drowning in that sin, then Allah mentions, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Now these people will be punished. So look at the andaz, look at the way Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is explaining that a person, when he takes a sin, commits a sin, and then drowns themselves on that path of sin, then Allah Ta'ala takes that person. So this is the principle of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that Allah loves to forgive His servants. But sometimes insan, we hit ourselves on our feet, right? We do certain actions, we commit certain mistakes, and we are driving ourselves away from that mercy of Allah Ta'ala. One person used to say that, oh insan, the type of mehnat that you're doing to turn away from Allah, if you can do half of that mehnat, you can get Jannat and you can get the closeness of Allah as well. We do so much in order to commit one sin, then to hide that sin, then to ensure that that sin is hidden, right? A person says a lie, then in order to save that lie, they say another lie, then say another lie. And your person's like a Pandora box. You open up this Pandora box of sins. What is easy is that a person comes to Allah and seeks forgiveness. And this is the reason why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala put us here in this world, because of this imtihan, this test. This nafs and shaitan will test us, will keep testing us. The lazat, the joys, the pleasures of the dunya will also test us, will also entice us. And as a result, a person might forget the way, they might forget their destination. Because of which then Allah calls them in the Quran, that فَأَيْنَ تَزْهَبُونَ. O insan, where are you going? O insan, where did you? You took a detour. O insan, you took the wrong exit. Your destination was somewhere else. You were supposed to make me the object of your love, your muhabba. You took someone else as your mahbub. You lost your purpose. And then Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws attention of insan in so many beautiful ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes insan, Allah ta'ala reminds insan that look at the ni'matin that I've given you. So that a person comes back to Allah. Alam naj'al lahu aynayn. That haven't we given you two eyes? Walisana wa shafatayn. And a tongue and two lips. Wahadaynahun najdayn. And then we made two pathways for you. Alam naj'alil arda mihada. We made this earth flat for you. Wal jibala awtada. And we made these mountains as fixed for you. Wa khalaqnakum azwaja. We gave you a spouse. Waj'alnakum nawmakum subata. We gave you sleep so that you could get a rest. And in Quran, Allah Ta'ala uses this word alam, 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 drawing attention of insan to the ni'mati that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And then by drawing attention, still if a person turns away from Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala does shikwa. Allah Ta'ala complains that kutil al insanu ma akfara, that insan, what have you done? Why are you so ungrateful? Min ayyi shayin khalaqa. Remember, or recall that we created you from what? Min nutfa, a drop. Khalaqahu faqaddara. And then we made you from that drop. We gave you proportion. Summa sabila yassara. We allowed you to come out of your mother. Summa amatahu faakbara. And then we'll give you death. And then we'll place you inside your qabr. Summa iza sha'a anshara. And then when we will raise you up from your grave. And he, step by step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds a person of his blessings. Wa in ta'uddu ni'matallahi la tuhsuha. Throw insan, if you were to count the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you won't be able to count all those ni'mat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ra'uf with insan, extremely compassionate. And if you look in the Quran, if you look at our deen, there are so many examples of this ra'fat and compassion of Allah Ta'ala. When a person, they go through ups and downs in their life, and sometimes a person ends up committing a sin. Then when a person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala washes away the sins. And the Prophet ﷺ said that At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kamalla zamba lahu. That when a person makes tawbah, their sins are wiped away. And At-ta'ibu habibullah. A person who makes tawbah becomes the habib of Allah. And in another hadith, the Prophet explained this, that how beloved is this person? There is a person who was carrying a camel, and then camel was, had this load, carrying the load of that person, and then the camel got lost in the desert journey. And now this person went to sleep, then he opened his eyes, he saw that the camel is not there. And then he became so worried. And then after some time, again, he sees that the camel is coming back to him. When he sees the camel, he becomes so happy, he's so joyous, that in that joy, he ends up saying that, Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. And he wanted to say the opposite, but in his happiness, he couldn't control his joy. He ended up saying that sentence. The Prophet ﷺ said that the happiness and joy that this person has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more joy and happiness than this person who made tawbah, when a person makes tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem and Allah ta'ala is Ra'uf. Then in one hadith, the Prophet explained that they were going on some journey and they wanted to pray their salah, so they came near the bank of a river. When the Prophet prayed the salah, after salah, the Prophet saw that there was a bird who would pick some grains of sand in its beak, then would fly and would put the grains in the water. Then again would pick the grains and again put it inside the water. And again put the grain, pick the grains of sand, place it inside the water. When the Prophet ﷺ became attentive to what this bird was doing, In the Hadith Mubarak, it comes that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi alayhi salam, and he said that, "Ya Rasulullah, Allah has sent me to you to open up what this matter is." And the Prophet asked that, "Jibreel, what is this? This bird carrying some grains of sand in its beak and then putting that in the water and doing it so many times." So then Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, he explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show to you how compassionate, the compassion and the rahmat of Allah ta'ala in a tangible form. That, "Oh my Mahbub, oh my beloved, that the sins of your ummah are like the grains of the sand in the beak of this bird. And my compassion, my rahmat, is like this flowing river. And on the day of Qiyamah, your ummah will come with its sins, and my compassion will completely wipe away the sins of your ummah." Allahu Akbar Kabira. And not only wipe away the sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be some people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show extreme intense compassion and will give them the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also something we should understand. The ulama, they have written that there are about 60. So if you add up all of those, there are about 60 actions, 60 amal, that if a person does, they can get this shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no other shade except for the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So about 15 or 20 actions we have compiled for you, so that we can understand that how intense is this mercy, this ra'fa, this compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be, especially on the day of Qiyamah. That Allah ta'ala will give the shade of the arsh, shade of his arsh on that day to these people. So number one, the first thing that comes is Imam-e Adil, that leader, that ruler who is just. Whether he's a king or a ruler, if someone has this quality of justice, then because of this sifat of justice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Then number two, that young man or that young woman who spend their youth in the ibadat of Allah, who spend their youth in worship of Allah. And he doesn't mention how much ibadah he did or how much ibadah she did. It just says that young man or woman who spent his youth in the ibadat of Allah, and he would enjoy the ibadat of Allah. So alhamdulillah, right? If a person, mashallah, those of you who are listening and are also young, the fact that you're coming and listening to this talk is itself a sign that we want this ibadat of Allah, and we want to draw close to Allah. We want to use our youth to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people in this very gathering listening online, right, they will be included in that in that category. And because of being included in that category, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the shade of his arsh, inshallah. Then third point is that person whose heart is attached with the masjid. That person whose heart is attached with the masjid, wants to stay in the masjid, wants to spend more time in the masjid, wishes that I will go for Zohar, then I want to go for Asr, then Maghrib, then Isha, wants to go to masjid and do Ibadat of Allah in masjid. So that person whose heart is attached to the masjid, Allah will give the shade of his arsh on that prayer, on the day of Qiyamah. Then number four, those people who meet each other and who sit with each other for the rada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have muhabbat for each other in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. Those people who have muhabbat for each other in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. So this is also something which people, we can also get. If a person has a taluk, that this taluk is based on the muhabbat of Allah. We want to attain the rada of Allah, come to know Allah, discover Allah. And that's why we sit, we gather, we listen, we So we hear about the words of Quran, hadith, the lovers of Allah, the beloveds of Allah. If the intention is that we want to attain the Rada of Allah, then this sitting and talking and parting, all of this will be such a beloved amal in the sight of Allah, that because of this, Allah will give the shade of His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Any coming to this gathering and listening, we are not coming here for some business, for some profit. You are not here for some business to earn money, because I'm not giving you any money. And you are not giving me any benefit either, right? We are not here to earn some money or business or dunya. We're not even here for some khandan. You don't know me, I don't know you, right? We're not here for any other objective. What's the reason why we are here? This is a taluk which is in the name of Allah's muhabbat. And the Nabi Salatu Islam is saying that those who have this muhabbat, which is in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah, lillah billah fillah, then because of this muhabbat, Allah will give both of them the shade of His arsh on Qiyamah. Subhanallah. Then number five, that person who gives sadaqah so secretly that his right hand gives sadaqah and the left hand doesn't know. Now, this is the month of Ramadan, this is the month of sadaqah. So many people, mashallah, might actually be doing amal on this point as well. That whatever money they have, they might be giving or transferring money, transferring it to someone's account, and in such a secretive way that the other person doesn't even know. Helping some orphan, helping some poor, some needy, some madrasa, some institute of Islamic learning, or fulfilling the needs of other people and doing it very secretly and silently. Not broadcasting, not publicizing. Khufiya sadaqah. Secret, silent. Spending in the path of Allah. They will also get the shade of Allah's, of the arsh of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Then number six, that person who is sitting in solitude and while remembering their sins begins to cry. Tears begin to fall from his eye out of the remorse and regret that he feels about the sins that he has done. So any person who sits in solitude, tanhai, right? He's sitting alone or she's sitting alone and they begin to cry when they remember their sins that they have done in their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person the shade of His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Now if you think about this point, TK, all of us, we may have committed sins, we are living a life of ghafla, sins, but it must have happened that sometime we would have sat down on the janamas or in the masjid, or we might be alone at night, and then we might be thinking about our life, thinking about our sins, making dua, and then something happened and tears formed in our eyes. We began to cry in our muhabbah for Allah. We began to cry thinking about the sins that we have done. So this person will get the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot start giving fatwas and handing fatwas on other people that he is an alcoholic drug addict and he does this, who knows? That in the middle of the night, maybe he shed some tears thinking about the sins that he has done. And Allah Ta'ala loved those sins so much. Allah Ta'ala loved those tears so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this person will be given the shade of my arsh on the day of Qiyamah. So this crying is also going to be beneficial for us on that day. Then number seven, it's mentioned that a person who gives a loan to someone and the receiver of that loan does not repay that loan on time, and he comes and says that, you know, sir, please, you know, please give me some respite, give me some extension. And this person says, okay, I'll give you an extension. So the one who gives an extension for the repayment of a loan, this amal is so beloved to Allah, this amal attracts the compassion of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person as well the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Then number eight, that person who is a businessman, does tijarat, but in his business dealing, he always speaks the truth. This person will also be given the shade of Allah's arsh. Then number nine, that person who, it's night time, it's dark, but still wants to go to the masjid. And he prays Isha Salah even when there is darkness, even when there is blackness. And also prays Fajr Salah in the masjid, because that's also a time when there is darkness. So any person who has the habit of praying Fajr and Isha in the masjid, does ihtimam of praying Salah in Jama'ah in masjid, so this person will also get the arsh, will get the shade of Allah's arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And number 10 comes in Hadith Mubarakah, that person who raises an orphan. And if this amal is also so beloved, that raising an orphan, Allah will give the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Acha, number 11, this is also ajeeb, so beautiful, that person who has taras on other people, who has pity on others, has empathy for others, that person who is quick in dispensing mercy, is very compassionate, and Allah Ta'ala himself is Ra'uf. So in other words, you can say that person who also has the sifat of being Ra'uf, sifat of being compassionate towards others, forgiving others, quick to forgive others, quick to dispense mercy to others, this person, because of this sifat, will also be given the shade of the Arsh of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Then number 12, that person who joins ties of kinship. In Arabic, we call this Sila Rahmi. You have your relatives, your uncle, your aunt, your chacha, taya, khala, mamu. These are all close relatives. To maintain ties of contact with them, to maintain ties of kinship with them, which means we say salam, dua, ask about their health, right? Attend their functions. When there is some tragedy, you ask them, you make dua for them, you console them, give them himmat. Just having this taluk and relationship with your relatives, which is called sila rahmi, that person who has sila rahmi, Allah Ta'ala will give them also the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And you look at the list, these are things which all of us can easily do, and many of us are already doing, which means that because of these amal, Allah will give us his compassion, Allah will give us his shade on the day of Qiyamah. The number 13, that person who loves for himself, who loves for his brother what he loves for his own self, right? What you love for yourself, you love the same thing for other people around you. Whoever has this quality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. The next point, 14, that person who steps out of his house to give da'wat of Allah ta'ala, goes out on the path of Allah, inviting other people towards the deen of Allah. This is, he's on fi sabilillah, on the path of Allah. Or even a student or a seeker of sacred knowledge, when they go out acquiring sacred knowledge, they're also on the path of Allah. In Hadith Mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ said that man kharaja fi talab al-ilm fahuwa fi sabilillah hatta yarji'a. That whoever leaves to attain the knowledge of deen, that person is on the path of Allah until the return. So this person who is on the path of Allah will also be given the shade of the arsh of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And number 15, that person who refuses to take bribes, this amal is also beloved, will give them the shade of Allah's arsh. Number 16, who saves themselves from interest, from sood, riba, this person will also get the shade of Allah's arsh. Then number 17, that person who removes the worries from other people, who removes the parishaniya from other people, who consoles other, provides consolation to other people, this person will also be given the shade of Allah's arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And how do you remove the parishani, the difficulty from a person? It doesn't always have to be with money. Sometimes just two small sentences are enough to remove the anxiety of that person. Can you remove the sadness of that person? You can give moral support, emotional support. Doesn't have to be financial support all the time. Just a few words of compassion, some words of consideration will be enough to remove the sadness of that person. And because of this, Allah will give the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Then number 18, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites durood and salawat upon me with abundance, this amal will also be so beloved that Allah Ta'ala will give the share of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. We remember that a few years ago, in our nani, dadi, they would have this, they had this regimen of reciting durood every Friday or every once in every 10 days, 15 days, 1 month. They would recite this durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. Sometimes 10,000, 20,000, 40,000, 50,000 times. We have seen this with our own eyes, right? So they would be counting and they would be reciting durood on durood and salawat. And some people have a habit of, mashallah, reciting durood and salawat daily on the Prophet ﷺ. 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. So whoever has this habit of reciting durood on the Prophet ﷺ every day, abundantly, then because of this amal, Allah will give them the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And number 19, that person who revives a dead sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, any particular sunnah which no one is practicing, whoever revives the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will also be given the shade of Allah's arsh on the day of Qiyamah. So for example, if a person has grows a beard on their face, right? Or any other sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, if you revive that, Allah Ta'ala will give the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And then the last point we'll mention, there are many, but we'll just mention one more, number 20. That person, Ajib Nukta, who wants to pray Salah and is continuously looking at his watch, continuously looking at the time, whether it's time for Salah or not. Whether it's time for Salah or not. Is it time for Zuhr yet? Is it time for Asr yet? Is it time for Maghrib yet? That for this person will also get the shade of Allah's Arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Right? Sometimes in our homes we have this calendar, and we should have a calendar on which you can have these times of Salah written down. And then the men, the women, the kids, they can look at that chart and they can see whether it's time for Salah or not. Now, to mashallah, we have our cell phones, right? We can check on our cell phones, our watches, whether it's time for Salah or not. So this adat, this habit of checking, Hadith Mubarakah is telling that that person who has so much fikr, concerned about the Salah timing, that they're continuously checking whether it's time for Salah or not, because of this attribute, Allah will give them the share of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Now, these are some points that we have mentioned. There are many others. But if you just reflect with a cool heart, right, if you listen, you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so compassionate, so rauf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just wanting to find one excuse or the other to forgive us. I just want to forgive the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So truly Allah ta'ala is rauf and rahim. So this was one point to remember. Now one other point we should also remember is that just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf, in the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is also Ra'uf. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is also Ra'uf. Bil mu'mineena Ra'ufun Rahim. This also needs to be understood. Allah ta'ala says in Quran that we have sent the Prophet ﷺ as the Rahmat, and the Prophet ﷺ is also merciful and extremely compassionate to the believers. لَقَدَ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, that indeed a Prophet has come to you from among your own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send an angel. He sent someone from among human beings. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, and it's very burdensome, very difficult on him, the things that you do. Allah is addressing me and you. That the kartut that you're doing, that the bad amal, the sins, the mistakes, what your amal are, the misdeeds, those are very severe burden on him. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying in this eternal Quran. And then harisun alaykum. The Prophet ﷺ has hirs for you. You can colloquially in English, you can see he's crazy for you. He's mad for you. He wants you. And for every single one of us, Allah Ta'ala is saying this. the Prophet ﷺ is harisun alaykum. He's extremely devoted on every one of his ummati. He's extremely passionate, extremely passionately interested in every one of his ummati. We wish we could also become haris about the Prophet ﷺ. We could also become haris for him, haris for his teachings, haris for his sunnat. The Prophet ﷺ had so much hirs for us. If only we could also have hirs for him. Isko kehte loyalty, wafadari, soda. That he is haris for us, we should not be haris for other types of life. And then the ayat ends, bil mu'minina raufun rahim. Allahu Akbar. It's Allah Ta'ala's own name that Allah Ta'ala is ar-rauf. It's Allah Ta'ala's own name that Allah Ta'ala is ar-rahim. But when telling about the Prophet ﷺ's taluk for us, the way the Prophet ﷺ relates with us, the concern, the fikr, the gham that the Prophet ﷺ has for me and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing that word which is suited for his own being to show how much love the Prophet ﷺ has for his ummati. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using his own names for the Prophet ﷺ to explain this. That the Prophet ﷺ is extreme, is rauf, is extremely compassionate, extremely gentle, kind, soft. With who? Bil mu'minina, with the people of Iman, with me and you. And Rahimun, extremely merciful and loving and generous. That is our Nabi. We hope we can also become Rauf with the Prophet ﷺ, Rauf with the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Rauf with the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah Ta'ala is giving us an introduction who our Nabi is. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah ta'ala created the Prophet system like this. Right? You know, these are the ayat we should put in our house, our office cubicles, our laptop screensavers. We're supposed to drown ourselves in this identity of being the ummati of the Prophet ﷺ. And then all the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ made for his ummat will be accepted in our favor as well. What du'as? The Prophet ﷺ at night time in tahajjud would be making du'as for his ummat. Sometimes just two-word du'a. Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati. Oh my Rabb, my Ummat, my Ummat, my Ummat. And would be crying profusely. In the books, it's mentioned that this is a wasf and quality which only the Prophet ﷺ had. The previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, it's not written about them that they would cry for their Ummat at night time. Only the Prophet ﷺ had this quality that he would cry at night for his ummat. Actually, once the Prophet ﷺ cried so much that the tears were falling on his blessed chest. And his garment became wet because of those tears. And when Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she asked that, Ya Rasulallah, you have so much muhabbat for your ummat. You have so much rahmat for your ummat. You have so much compassion for your ummat. You're crying so much that the entire garment is all wet. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that, Aisha, I will say this sentence, Ya Rabbi Ummati, for my whole life. I'll continue to say this, make this dua for my whole life. That, oh Allah, my ummat, my ummat, my ummat. And when the sakarat-e-maut happened, at that time, again, I'll be saying, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati. And when I'll be raised from my grave on the day of Qiyamat, at that time, again, I'll be saying, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make me stand on the day of Qiyamah. The other Anbiya alayhi salam will be saying, Nafsi, 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 Nafsi. And Aisha, on that day, I again will be saying, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had so much compassion and muhabbat for this ummat. You can't even imagine. That's why in Hadith Mubarakah it comes that the Prophet he made dua that, oh Allah, when you take hisab of my ummat, Allah, give me that ikhtiyar, give me the choice that I can take hisab of my own ummat. Let me take hisab of my own ummat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked that, my beloved, why are you making this dua? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said that, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, if my ummat, if you will be taking the hisab of my ummat, then all these Anbiya alayhi salat, other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will be present. And before other ummate, yani the name amal of my ummat will be opened in front of other ummat, in front of other people as well. And then if there are some big sins that will come from within my ummat, so I will be embarrassed. I will feel shame. So Allah, I ask you that let me take the hisab of my own ummat so that I can save myself from that embarrassment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, oh my Nabi, that why do you wish to take this hisab? I'll take the hisab of your ummat, but I'll take it in such a way that when this ummat comes before you, so before this ummat comes before you, all of their big, big major sins will be forgiven. I won't allow the major sins to come before you. So then the Prophet ﷺ became happy and said that, oh Allah, you can take the hisab of my ummat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf, and the Prophet ﷺ is also Ra'uf. Once the Prophet ﷺ, he made a dua, Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min zambiha wa ma ta'akhara ma assarat wa ma a'lanat. He was making dua for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that, oh Allah, forgive all the sins of Aisha, her past sins, her future sins, all her sins, her hidden sins and her outward sins. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she became very happy and she said that, Ya Rasulallah, you made such a beautiful, such a sweet and azim dua for me today. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that, Aisha, I make this dua for every single ummati of mine after every single salah. I make this dua for every ummati of mine after every salah that I pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so compassionate and the Prophet ﷺ is so Ra'uf. Ra'ufun Rahim. That the Prophet ﷺ would be making dua for his ummati, that, oh Allah, forgive all their sins, previous and future. Allah, forgive all their sins, private and public. Sayyidina Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala, and he narrates that once the Prophet ﷺ was in Halat-e Salah, and he spent the entire night reciting this ayah, that in tu'azzibuhum fa'innahum ibaduk, wa in taghfir lahum fa'innaka antal azizul hakim. That, oh Allah, if you give azab to my azab to the ummat, then Allah, they are your servants. But Allah, if you forgive them, then Allah, you are zabardast, you are full of wisdom. So on the day of Qiyamah, our mamla will be with Allah Ta'ala and with the Prophet ﷺ's shafa'at. We are between two kareemain. And then the Prophet ﷺ also said, Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet ﷺ another glad tiding, Trandade, Allah says, will give you so much, your Lord, your Rabb will give you so much that you will become a Razi. My Mahabub, you will become a Razi with me. And the Prophet ﷺ said that I will not become a Razi until the last ummati of mine is made to enter into Jannat. Until the last ummati of mine enters into Jannat, I will not become Razi. Subhanallah, this is a mercy, this is the compassion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is why the Prophet taught us a dua that no matter how many sins a person has, if they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and they make tawbah and they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive all of their sins. So the Prophet taught us this dua that Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min zunubi wa rahmatuka arja'indi min amali. That, oh Allah, your maghfirat, your forgiveness is much, much more wasi, more vast and expansive than my sins. And Allah's rahmat is expansive, it's infinite, it's unlimited, unbounded. Our sins are limited. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is much more than our sins. Wa rahmatu arja indi min amali. And Allah, I don't have any hope in my amal. Allah, my hope lies in your rahmat. So we should also make this dua to Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, we ask that you forgive our sins and you include us among your maqbool servants. The reason why the Prophet ﷺ's dua, I'll just end with one last story. The Prophet ﷺ's duas are always there for his ummah. And the reason why those duas are not coming true for us is because we are not a true ummah. If we were, then they would also become true for us as well. If you become a true ummah, we would have the Prophet ﷺ's duas, this ummati, ummati. That dua is there. This is so ajeeb that we are so far away from the sunnah, from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Many young people don't even know this, that the Prophet ﷺ is haris about us, that the Prophet ﷺ is ra'uf for us, he is compassionate to us, he is rahim to us. So I'll just end with one last example. This is the story when the Prophet ﷺ, in the initial period of Makkah Mukarramah, started giving dawah. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ targeted two sections of the Meccan community. First was his own family, which was the Quraysh, because they knew the attributes of the Prophet ﷺ and they would be more likely to accept the message of Islam and Deen. And the second section that the Prophet ﷺ targeted were the youth of Makkah Mukarramah, so that if they can come to Deen, then they can be a source of strength for the deen. But what happened that the uncles of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, didn't believe in him. All the leading tribes of Makkah Mukarramah, they did not believe in him either. And then even the youth of Makkah Mukarramah, they also didn't believe in the Prophet ﷺ. So at the face of it, outwardly, the Prophet ﷺ was unsuccessful in the first 2, 3, 4 years. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he thought that which other nisbat can I use? And he thought of Taif, the city of Taif, because Nabi ﷺ's wet nurse, Halima, she was from Taif. So the Prophet ﷺ then made irada to travel to Taif. Why? For the sake of finding some ummati there, finding an ummati. And that's what a Nabi is. A Nabi is a seeker of ummatis. And the Prophet ﷺ went to Taif, but no one accepted that message in Taif. No ummati who the Prophet can be haris about. No ummati that he can be rauf and rahim about. No one accepted. And then the Prophet came back to Makkah Mukarramah. And obviously the Prophet was very sad. So he came to Makkah Mukarramah and he came to Baytullah Sharif and did ibadat of Allah Ta'ala outside of Baytullah Sharif. And this was the habit of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that would love to do ibadah near Khane Kaaba, Baytullah Sharif. Would be looking for a time when people are not there so that he can go and do ibadah. So when the Prophet on this occasion was doing ibadah and was in sajda, some young men of Makkah Mukarramah, they saw and they became angry, enraged that how could the Prophet come and do sajda here at our place in Baytullah Sharif. So they got this camel, a dead camel, a corpse of a camel, and they placed that camel on the back of the Prophet while the Prophet was in sajda. And it was such a heavy load that the Prophet couldn't lift his head back up again. So Nabi Wasallam remained in that posture, remained in that sajda for a long time. And then after some time, some other sahabi, they were passing by, they saw the Prophet in that position. They quickly went to remove their corpse, and then the Prophet completed the salah. And then when the Prophet was moving back to his house, these unbelievers, they still were so angry with this, what happened. They started pelting Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with stones. And those stones, they hit Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and blood started to flow. They bruised the Prophet wasalam. The blood was flowing from his blessed face. So this one sahabi, he quickly ran to one of the houses of the daughters of the Prophet wasalam with this information that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is coming at your house. If you can prepare some ointment, some water, some dressing, because he has been hurt badly, he is bleeding. So when the Prophet ﷺ entered the house of his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, so she immediately brought that bowl of water and she gave it to the Prophet ﷺ. And then the Prophet ﷺ was about to clean the wound, but right at that time, in the reflection of the water, he saw his daughter. She was standing behind him. And he saw that she had tears in her eyes. So the Prophet ﷺ did not attend to her wound. He kept that bowl down. And he turned around and said that, Zainab, why do I see tears in your eyes? And she said that, Ya Rasulullah, look what they did to you. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that, I swear by that being in whose hand is my life. I swear by that being in whose hand is my life, that this message of Deen, there'll come a day when this message of Deen will reach all corners of this world. Zainab, don't be worried about this. There will come a day when this message will reach the four corners of this world. Now, what does that mean? So that means that the Prophet ﷺ had yakin and hope in us, that there will be people in 2021 in Pakistan, in the US, in different places around the globe, some young men, some young women, some old men, some old women, right? People who will be my ummati. They will be my ummati and they will do labbaik on my dawat. That these people of Taif, these people of Makkah Mukarramah, they do not do labbaik. They do not accept my deen. They do not accept my message. But I take solace, I take sukoon, I take contentment from the fact that there will come a time when there will be people who will accept me. This message will reach them and they will believe in it. And I take solace from those people. I put my hope in them. And that's what we should think. That if the Prophet ﷺ were to see us today, would he say that yes, it was for you that I was okay when the people of Makkah and Taif did not accept me? It was all worth it because you accepted me. Would he look at us and would he say that? If the Prophet ﷺ, we think if he were to see us, he would have cried. We have not fulfilled the umid that the Prophet ﷺ had in us, had for us. He had so much umid for us, so much hope for us, so much ra'fat and compassion for us, so much rahmat and mercy for us. We do not do our side of the bargain. We do not accept the Prophet ﷺ as a Nabi. And if we are not accepting the Prophet ﷺ as a Nabi, the Sunnah of our Nabi, then what about other people, the ghair? They are a ghair. We are apne, we are the close ones. We are the believers. We have to realize, accept, remember who the Prophet ﷺ is and what we should be with the Prophet ﷺ. This is what dunya is, right? To understand how good an ummati we have to become as good an ummati as good he was a Nabi to us. That's what we have in the dunya, right? Or at least try to be as good as an ummati, as good an ummati, as good a Nabi, a Prophet he was to us. So the Prophet ﷺ was a very good Nabi, was a very beautiful Nabi. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us people who do qadardani of Allah ta'ala, and we do qadardani of the Prophet ﷺ. Truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so rauf, so extremely compassionate, and the Prophet ﷺ is also so compassionate. We can also, if we can also do our side of the bargain, we can also make this niyat tonight that, Ya Allah, we want to become people who live according to your radha. We want to live according to your wishes. We want to live according to the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We should make dua for each other because we have a shade Nabi. May Allah Ta'ala give us all a shade love, a longing for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah Ta'ala make us true mu'min, mu'min in the truest sense of this word. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Shall I will make dua. Subhani Rabbil al-Wahhab. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we come to you tonight, Allah, asking for your rahmah, Allah, asking for your ra'fa, asking for your compassion, Allah, asking for your mercy. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, you have said in Quran that inna Allah bin nasi la ra'ufur rahim. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are ra'uf with all of humanity. Allah, you are ra'uf with all of us. Allah, we are also insan. Allah, we are also among the annas. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, by the ra'fat, the compassion that you have for us, Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower us with your maghfirah tonight. Allah, shower us with your rahmah tonight. Allah, shower us with your ra'fat tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept this tawbah from all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make tawbah for all the sins that we have done. Allah, Allah, we ask that you forgive us for the sins that we remember, the sins that we have forgotten, the sins that we did during the day, the sins that we did during the night, the sins that we did in private, those that we did in public, those that we did with our eyes, our limbs, our tongue. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for the sinful emotions, sinful memories, sinful thoughts, sinful feelings. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever distance that has come between us and you because of our sins, Allah, remove that distance as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, whatever worries that have come in our life because of sins, Allah, remove those worries as well. Allah, whatever bi-barakati that has come in our life, Allah, remove that bi-barakati because of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever hardness and darkness that has come on our hearts, Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove that hardness, that rust and crust from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us اطمئنان قلب. Grant us solace and tranquility, peace in our hearts. Allah, grant us barakah in our health, in our wealth, in every aspect of our life, in our deen, in our time. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you that you remove the distance that has come between us and you. Allah, you have said in Quran, fa'inni qareeb, that you're qareeb, near to us. Allah, we also want to feel that nearness. Allah, we also want to feel that closeness. Allah, we want to feel this closeness every single second, every single moment of our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us embodiments of these ayat of the Quran. Allah, those people who remember you, qiyamun wa qu'udun wa ala junubihim, those who remember you when they're standing, they're sitting and lying on their sides. Allah, make us embodiments of this ayah. Allah, make us an embodiment of those people who remember you so much that nothing can distract you from their from your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you make us people who remember you abundantly. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ignite the flame of your zikr in our hearts, the flame of your muhabbat in our hearts. Allah, make us love you with the full extent of our hearts. Allah, make us desire you with the full desire that we have. Allah, increase us in our desire for you. Make our desire for you more than any other desire that we have in this world. Allah, make us longing for you more than any other longing that we have. Make our yearning for you more than any other yearning that we have. Allah, make our love for you more than any other love that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us that we can love you fully, completely, entirely, with the full extent of our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you grant us a shauq, a passion. Allah, a passion to draw close to you, a passion to come near to you, a passion to meet you. Allah, grant us the lazzat, the sweetness, the joy, Allah, of being in your company, of remembering you. Allah, the joy and the sweetness, Ya Allah, of being blessed with that vision, of being able to see you on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you also make us among those categories of people who will be given your arsh, who will be given the share of your arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, include our names also among those category. Allah, grant us istiqamah on our deen, istiqamah on our ibadah, istiqamah on the good deeds that we are doing. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want a life. Allah, we want to exit. Allah, we want an exit out of the sins that we're engaged in. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we know, Allah, we will fail in this battle on our own. Allah, we are not looking at our own strength. Allah, we ask you for your rahmat. Allah, we are asking you for your qudrat. Allah, we are asking you for power and strength. Allah, you will make us remove those sins. You make us leave those sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, if our hearts have become hard, Allah, we are presenting these hard hearts to you tonight. Allah, we are asking you that you soften these hard hearts. Allah, if our hearts have become impure, Allah, we are presenting these hearts to you tonight. Allah, we are asking you that you purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if rust and crust has come on our hearts, Allah, we are presenting our hearts to you. Allah, we are asking you that you remove the rust and crust from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you have said in Quran, فَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Then when a sail comes to you, ask you for anything, don't return that person empty-handed. Allah, if we are told not to return someone empty-handed, Allah, we are also at your doorstep. Allah, we are also asking you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, don't return us empty-handed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us your sadaqah. Allah, you have said in Quran, antumul fuqara, that all of you are fakir. Elsewhere, Allah, you say that as-sadaqatul al-fuqara, that sadaqah is the haq of the fakir. Ya Rabbi Kareem, if we are fakir and sadaqah is the haq of a fakir, Allah, we ask you that you give us the sadaqah of your rahimi. Allah, give us the sadaqah of your kareemi. Allah, give us the sadaqah of your ghafari. Allah, give us the sadaqah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, give us your sadaqah, Ya Allah. Give us the sadaqah of your muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept these du'as from us. Allah, shower us with your glance of rahmah. Allah, one gaze of rahmah, one glance of rahmah is sufficient. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, teri ek nazar, teri ek rahmat ki baat hai. Meri zindagi ka sawal hai. Ya Rabbi Kareem, truly Allah, Allah, our whole life is dependent, Ya Allah, on your one glance of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you for your rahmah. Allah, we ask you for your maghfirah. Allah, we ask that you accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, today we realized that we have been so naqadr to you and so naqadr in our relationship with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make tawbah of these sins as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, restore us back to the muhabbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, so much love for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, make us also loving to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah, increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah, increase our muhabbat for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in our hearts. Allah, increase the love that we have. Allah, increase our love for the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, make us people who love the sunnah. Allah, make us people who love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Love the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, give us tawfiq that we can send more durood and salawat to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam every single day. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, grant us istiqama in following the sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, in this dunya we were not the sahaba. Allah, we don't want to be mahroom in akhirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, in this dunya, Allah, we were not able to look at the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Allah, we read about in the Quran, there'll be some people whom you will raise up on the day of Qiyamah in such a state that they'll be blind. They won't be able to see even on that day. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, if you raise up, Allah, if you raise us up on that day in such a state that we are blind, Allah, then we won't be able to see the Prophet even on that day as well. Allah, dori mahrumi se bacha lijiye. Allah, save us from this double loss. Allah, save us from this double loss. Allah, save us from this double loss. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us the shifaat of Nabi alayhi salam on that day. Allah, grant us the didar of the Prophet on that day. Allah, make the Prophet happy with us. When the Prophet looks at us, Allah, make the Prophet happy when he looks at us. Make the Prophet happy when he looks at our book of deeds, our name amal. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, grant us hawza kasr from the hands of the Prophet. Grant us shifaat, ya Allah, from the Prophet. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to enter into Jannatul Firdaus with the Prophet, to live with the Prophet and to become the eternal sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, grant us a muhabbah for Nabi alayhi salam, for each and every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. Grant us tawfiq to revive in each and every sunnah in our life, the zahiri sunnah, the batini sunnah, the sunnah of akhlaq, the sunnah of adat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, accept these duas from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.